time.
We are back, baby.
The gates are open, the pads are cracking, and the green and gold buzz is back in full force.
We are back! That's
we
right.
are back!
The journey begins today. This is Mr. Irrelevant at Packers Training Camp on 94.5 ESPN, the ESPN Wisconsin app, and ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube. Live from the Tundra Trio in the shadow of Lambeau Field, here's Alex Stroff.
Away we go on a Wednesday edition, Mr. Irrelevant, live from the Tundra Trio in Green Bay. Day one of Packers training camp football season officially here. Good to be with you on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, the ESPN Milwaukee and ESPN Madison YouTube channels. Working through some camera difficulties.
We're not working through anything.
That's Josh DiMaggio, Alex Stroff hanging out with you until 2 o'clock this afternoon. Will Summers back at the Gruber offices. One call, that's all. Studio in downtown Milwaukee running the show for us this afternoon. Good to be here in Green Bay, Joshy. You took a quick drive up after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning. We've got Lambeau behind us at the Tundra Trio. I was actually able to take in some of practice as a fan for the first time in probably a decade. I was sitting on those bleachers at Reinitschke Field.
Yeah? How did it go?
It went well.
Who'd you scout?
I've been telling you who I'm going to scout. I was watching left tackle play, baby.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I was watching the trenches. No, I didn't get to see a ton of 11-on-11. I saw a little bit of walkthrough and then some positional drills before I took off around 11:30. They are currently playing full-blown 11-on-11. One note from the 11-on-11 happening right now. Matthew Golden did not start with the ones. The three receivers starting for the Packers were Romeo Doubs, Jaden Reed, and Dontavian Wicks. Later into the drill, though, Matthew Golden getting a lot of run at once. So, something to keep an eye on.
It's probably going to mirror the start of the season.
Yeah.
If we look at it, they're just going to give a young guy time to get acclimated, figure everything out. You don't want to overload any of them, especially on the first day of training camp. I do want to comment on, I discovered something about you in the 10 minutes prior to the show starting.
Okay.
You make it seem like you're accomplishing things while you do nothing.
What did I do?
Just the way you were going about trying to get our setup going, you're like, I got this idea. And then you come back later, 5 minutes later, you'd done nothing. I was moving chairs for the setup. And then in the middle of it, while you had already moved the chair, but not to where it was supposed to go, you just started looking for your sport coat.
I found it.
I haven't had
it in 3 months.
There's nothing I could care less about than your sport coat.
Well, it's almost been 3 months.
And then it became a scramble. And I thought, wow. That 3 minutes that we used looking for our sport coat probably could have been best used on making sure our broadcast was up and ready to go.
Will Summers is running the show for us back at the Gruber Law Offices, One Call at Cell Studio in downtown Milwaukee. Will, was it your idea to invite Josh today?
It was not, but it would have been my idea if it wasn't already put out there.
Yeah.
Why? What value has he brought to the program 3 minutes in?
I hold He's you accountable. That too.
That too, I guess. Okay. I just don't like how we started talking Packers, and then we pivoted to, hey, Stroff, you're a clown.
Yeah, I think we ought to set the table. Packers are practicing mere feet from here. You're a clown.
All right. Glad the tone is set for
if the people are listening, they know what to expect.
Yeah, that's true. I won't argue with that because I will make some clownish comments over the course of the next 2 hours without a doubt. But lots I want to get into today. So Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst both met with the media prior to practice. We will hear from them throughout the show today. Once practice wraps up, some of the players will be speaking. That, of course, including the quarterback, Jordan Love. We will hear from him on the day he is revealed as the 68th best player in the NFL, according to his peers. So we'll hear from Jordan Love, likely sometime in the 1 o'clock hour as well today. I want to dive into some of the offensive line situations. Elgton Jenkins, obviously not on the practice field for the Packers today as he awaits the guaranteed money that he has requested with his move to center. So plenty of green and gold headlines to get into, but merely just the fact we've made it, right? It is officially football season is incredibly exciting. I started my day. I got up here about 9 o'clock. I walked right over to the AmFam Dream Drive. First voice I heard today. Any guesses?
First voice, Wayne Larrabee.
No.
Mark Murphy.
Right idea, though.
Mark Tauscher.
Will got it. It was the outgoing president and CEO of the Packers, Mark Murphy, riling up the young crowd as the scissors were brought up to open this year's American Family Insurance Dream Drive. Of course, that is where the kids ride their bikes with the players over to Ray Nitschke Field from Lambeau Field. And Mark Murphy giving a good old spiel. I walked through lot one here right up to the Dream Drive, and I go, I know that voice. And I heard the laugh, and I go, oh, baby, he's still going. Two more days of Mark Murphy until the official handoff happens Friday at the owners' meeting inside Lambeau Field, as Ed Policy will officially become the president and CEO of the Packers. But it just felt like football season. I'm walking around and I'm listening to Mark Murphy giggle.
You heard Mark Murphy's voice, and I can tell you what I just saw that fully means football season's on. We've got kicker reports.
Yeah, we do.
McManus, 6 for 6 today. PAT, 38, 38, 41, 43, 46.
Not bad. Not bad.
I don't remember the last time we had a training camp where there was a day where everybody made, where somebody made all their kicks.
Yeah.
It felt like in the Carlson Narveson era.
The Narv dog.
The Narv dog. There was a missed kick every day.
Oh, at least.
Few and far between that it was, that things were going well for everyone. And we're going to get these. And now I feel good. I don't have to worry about what does this number look like.
That's true.
He's the kicker.
He's the kicker.
I feel good about the kicker. And that's the last we have to think about it.
So a couple of things on him, because I actually was fascinated by something he did this morning. So obviously, Narveson. McManus did not join the roster until the regular season last year.
I was just reminiscing on your, we got a kicker now, when they signed Braden Narveson. That was another out in front of your skis situation, which I'm sure we're going to find one today.
Oh, we'll find one.
Yeah.
From the 35 minutes of practice I took in, I've got reports, brother. I've got takes. I've got reports from the 35
Full
minutes.
Scouting reports.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. But one thing with McManus that I thought was cool, and this is why I love coming up here every year. So for those of you that don't know, I grew up in the Green Bay area. I grew up on the east side of Green Bay. So I grew up coming to these. I never was a bike kid, though, which I imagine surprises you.
Yes. I don't understand how the process works. Can you just show up, and yes, if you get picked, you get picked?
Yeah, if you show up with a bike, they'll bring you inside the little gate there, and you kind of just wait. Huh. A lot of kids are smart about it, though, or their parents are smart
How
about
would
it.
You rate your bike riding skills?
Three out of 10, maybe.
You seem like a rollerblader.
That's rude. No, I would break my ankle doing that.
Razor scooter guy?
Razor scooter, yeah. 100%. Yeah. Which has evolved into electric scooters, which I'm a big fan of. But that's neither here nor there. So I grew up in the Green Bay area. I came to training camp multiple times a year, especially like when I was in like middle school, right? 13, 14. My parents would just drop me off and say, like, have fun. And I'd come by myself. I'd literally be a loner. I'd bring like my binder looking for autographs when I was like 12 or 13. And I'd just like watch the bike ride, watch the practice, yada, yada. So it's always really cool to see these young kids, right? I mean, we're talking 5, 6, 7, 8 years old with their bikes and the opportunity to ride with players. But something I thought was really neat today was Brandon McManus, the kicker of the Packers, who joined midseason last year or early season, but was not part of the team in training camp. This was his first experience, despite being a long tenured veteran in the NFL, his first experience with the bike riding thing. And I mean, I'm sure he was aware of it because I imagine everybody in the NFL is, but I don't think he realized how neat it was. So he really took his time as he came out of Lambeau Field. I think he was riding a Razor scooter, ironically. And he was saying, what's up, guys? How's everybody doing? Like, he was really interacting with the crowd, talking to the kid he was with. And it's always cool to see kind of the twinkle, right? You see it a lot in the rookies, but you saw it in a long-tenured veteran, the oldest member of this Packers team who had never done this before, and he realizes just how special Green Bay and the atmosphere and the environment of which football is played in Green Bay is for the first time. Maybe not the first time, but the first time in this particular environment. That was neat for me. I enjoyed that moment this morning.
Yeah, I imagine that's something you see all the time. For us, obviously, we are partnered with American Family. We pay a lot of attention to it every year. But I imagine as somebody who hasn't spent most of their career or like the rest of us, their lives around here, being able to experience it firsthand is cool because it is one of the unique things. It's in its own way, it's the sausage race or whatever, you know, the traditions, the roll out the barrel, Bernie going down the slide. It's like that. You can truly only experience this in Wisconsin, mm-hmm, and at Packers training camp. I do like now that they are doing the joint practices stuff, that some of those other players from other teams do get the chance to come to Green Bay and do the same thing, because I know if I was a kid and I got to, who's coming in town this year? Sorry, it's escaping me.
Coming into town, is that the Jets? They're going to Seattle. I know that. Broncos, maybe? I don't know who exactly it is off the top of my
head. But whatever it is, like, I would have been just as excited to, let's say, a Colts. A Colts player. It would have been just as enthralling and exciting as it would be a Packer. Obviously, you'd love to be with the Packers, but the fact that you're able to do that, and it's a tradition that's carried on so long, is really fun.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Josh DiMaggio, Alex Stroph hanging out with you. It's a special edition of Mr. Relevant live from Green Bay. Day one of Packers training camp is underway. I imagine practice getting pretty close to wrapping up. We're about an hour and a half into it now. We will check in with our buddy Jason Wilde a bit later, maybe, depending on when interviews happen in the locker room. But certainly we'll be following along on Twitter just to see certain updates on practice. But training camp across the league, Joshy, is now underway for just about every team in the National Football League. You sent me a little update from down south earlier today. Would you care to share?
Caleb Williams threw a near interception on one of his first throws, then threw an interception, and then had so much trouble during 7-on-7s, where you are just kind of going out there, going through the motions and running routes.
Let's remind everybody, we're not even in shoulder pads yet in the NFL.
No. We're very much in the early phases. And Caleb couldn't get his offense lined up, so they got pulled in the second team. Great start. And I'm sure we'll see something from Packers training camp that makes us all go, well, we don't love that. If we remember, basically, the offense has been doing push-ups for the past 2 years after every training camp practice. But seeing Caleb not even be able to get his guys in the right spot in 7-on-7s, that's something that gave me a little glimmer, a little laugh.
Yeah, it should give you a little laugh because I said this yesterday on KBN, which is going to follow us from 2 to 5 this afternoon here on ESPN Milwaukee. I am going to purchase a stake in Caleb Williams to lead the NFL in interceptions this year.
I heard that, and I thought that was misguided.
Why misguided?
Because I think
he was the worst quarterback in the NFL on long throws last year.
Based on what we saw last year and based on the investments they made in the draft, Luther Burden, Colson Loveland, they're not going to be asking him to go downfield a lot. It's going to be a lot of DJ Moore also is good at this, of working in or behind or very near the line of scrimmage, and it's going to be one read, get the ball out, let's move the offense, let's move the chains. I don't think they want him to have, let's say, the same abilities at the line to change plays and to improvise as though Jordan Love would be trusted. Mm-hmm. It's a, we need you to do these basic things and we're going to let our athletes work.
Yeah, that's fair. We will see. I'm still going to pray in his demise.
It's fun to bet against him. I'm not going to tell you not to. I just thought you were a little misguided.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you speaking up, but I'm probably not going to listen to you.
Yeah, you never do. I'm usually right.
That's true. And we will get to a bit later in the show about something you were spot on about. And I do have a scouting report on that individual, which we will get to in a bit.
Good.
I do have some takeaways. He got burned the one play I watched. I'm talking about Bo Melton. There you go. I watched one play in warmups. He got burned. They're not even going full speed at that point.
Who was it, somebody of note that burned him?
If I tell you it was Mecole Hardman, how do you feel?
It's tough. It's tough. It's tough. You don't love that. Now, if it was Jayden Reed, I'd be like, yeah, all right. Dontavian Wicks, like, yeah, I mean, that guy's great at running routes, especially when it's not in a play and you can kind of just get open.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's not totally fair to judge him off that rep, but you don't love it being a guy who's likely not on the roster.
That is a fair point by you. Yeah, that is a fair point by you. Though, he might make the roster. We'll talk about wide receivers in the second hour of the show, too. But coming up next, I do want to get to some of the Green Bay Packers drama as we begin training camp. Not quite to the level of last year when we were here on the first day of training camp. Jordan Love was holding out, right? You don't have quite that level of drama, but there is still some drama going on behind us in 1265 Lombardi Avenue. We will dive into the drama of Green Bay Packers training camp, and we will hear from the head coach, Matt LaFleur, the general manager, Brian Gutekunst. That is all still ahead. Josh DiMaggio, Alex Stroph with you. A special edition of Mr. Irrelevant, live from Green Bay, day one of Green Bay Packers training camp, right here on ESPN Wisconsin.
You're listening to Mr. Irrelevant, live from Packers training camp on 94.5 ESPN and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
It started with a whisper.
Yeah, Mr. Relevant, live from Green Bay, day number one, NFL training camp here for the Green Bay Packers. Looks like it's in the books as the bikes start to head back. I actually like, we've moved our angle on YouTube. It now looks like a 1990s cooking show.
Yeah.
On YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee, if you want to join us. We've got the kitchen in the background of us. But to my left, you can literally see the AmFam Dream Drive just in the distance a bit from where we sit here just outside of Lambeau Field in Green Bay. And so practice is in the books, clearly. You just said something in the break, though. Matthew Golden scored a touchdown?
Yes, this was 21 minutes ago, but I hadn't been most updated. He scored the touchdown against Carrington Valentine.
Oh.
I have a feeling we're going to be the hype for Matthew Golden as he shows off that speed that got him drafted in the first round, amongst other reasons. That's going to be one of the highlights and the thing that people realize gets them a lot of likes, a lot of favorites, a lot of retweets. So we're going to be seeing a lot of him.
This note from Domofsky, the touchdown catch was thrown by Malik Willis.
Hell yeah.
Another note from Rob Domofsky defensively, their nickel secondary. We're going to get in the weeds for a second. Hobbs and Nixon at corner. McKinney and Evan Williams at safety, and then Javon Bullard in the slot. So Carrington Valentine, the odd man out there.
That's interesting.
That is interesting. I agree with that. All right, let's get into some of the drama, shall we? Josh, I know you love drama.
Yeah, you've been teasing this. I don't know exactly what you mean by drama.
So earlier in the week, big news.
Big news.
For the right tackle, Zach Tom.
Yes.
Zach Tom gets locked up to a four-year, $88 million extension, a $30.1 million signing bonus, which is viewed as the largest in NFL history for an offensive lineman. Well-deserved for Zach Tom, right? No gripes, no ifs, ands, or buts about that from Packers fans. And there shouldn't be. The guy has been your best offensive lineman each of the last two seasons. He's entering his fourth year, the end of his rookie deal. It's only natural for him to get locked up and get a new contract, given how productive he has been at right tackle for the Packers, especially each of the 2 years Jordan Love has been the quarterback. So that's great and fine. He was ready to go. He practiced today. He was the starting right tackle in all of their team drills today. All A-OK. When you looked at the offensive line, and this is the very first thing I looked at, it was actually the only update I tweeted, because I think we can leave that to the Domofskys of the world, the tweet practice updates. But the offensive line, the first offensive snap of Packers training camp from left to right, Rashid Walker was playing left tackle. Obviously, he is in a competition at that job with Jacob Morgan. Jordan Morgan did it again. Aaron Banks at left guard.
Shout out to Jacob wherever he
is. I'm going
to
see him on Saturday.
Wow, big deal.
Standing up in the wedding I'm going to on Saturday. Aaron Banks was the left guard. Sean Ryan played center. Jordan Morgan, the right guard. And then Zach Tom, the right tackle. There was a name missing, an obvious name missing there. That is Elgton Jenkins.
Yes.
The Packers general manager, Brian Gutekunst, asked about Elgton Jenkins. We will start with him just being asked, hey, do you want him out there? This was the general manager's response earlier today.
Yeah, I mean, for me, as much as we can. At the same time, I mean, Elton's played that position before for us. I think it's very natural to him. Again, he's very gifted there. So, you know, we like him out there as much as possible. But at the same time, he's had to go in there in, you know, very short amount of time, and he's excelled. So, but yeah, I mean, all our players, we'd like him out there as much as possible.
So that's the general manager, Brian Gutekunst, who says, yeah, he's moving to a new position. He's been good at it when he's played it on short notice, but we'd still like him out there. Okay, sure. Fair response. It's training camp. You're just getting the team back to town. You want your players out there. But then Brian Gutekunst then asked, hey, Brian, why isn't Elgton Jenkins practicing for the Green Bay Packers this week? Here is the general manager on that.
He's working through a back thing. And, you know, again, hopefully he'll be out there soon as well. You know, all these guys need as many reps as they can get. Obviously, Elgton probably less than most. But, you know, getting him out there will be important.
He's working through a back thing, and we expect him out there soon. So, Joshy, the way I'm understanding it is Elgton Jenkins this offseason was pretty vocal. He would like his guaranteed money. He's not asking for a new contract. He's not asking for a raise. He just wants all of his money he is due to be guaranteed. So I imagine if the Packers go ahead and say, hey, we're going to give you that guaranteed money, boom, magically his back is going to be fine?
Yeah. This is a hold-in. This is, I'm showing up, I'm doing the stuff I need to, I'm not going to lose any of the money that should be coming my way, but I'm not doing anything until I get my contract organized in the way I would like it. And we've talked about it ad nauseum at this point. All he wants is the money that's already on his contract guaranteed to him. He's not asking for a big extension. He's not asking for a ton more money. He's doing right by the team, who is moving him to center, a position where you earn less money than you would as a guard. So he says, hey, I pat your back, I rub your back, you rub mine. And it doesn't seem like the Packers are willing to do that. The Packers do have this weird thing, and most NFL teams do the same. I believe Brian Bulaga was giving credence to it, where for whatever reason, they think they can only work on one deal at a time.
Yes, correct. That's always been their MO, for whatever reason.
It doesn't make sense. There's enough people there, and the same people can work on two things at once. It's not like when Brian Gutekunst wakes up in the morning, he works on the Elton Jenkins contract from sun up to sundown. He does other things. So why contracts aren't that way? I think Elton is doing the right thing. I fully support Elton and what he's doing because he is being the ultimate teammate. He's moving from a spot where you get paid pretty good money in 2025 for a left guard position, and he's moving to center, which is going to not only foretell likely the end of his career in Green Bay, but also when he hits the market, are people going to then view him as a center as he ages and gets a tiny less mobile, a little less quick? Like, I think Elton's going to have quite an extensive career after this year. Yeah. Still, I think he's that talented.
But is it in Green Bay?
I don't think so.
I don't either.
And I don't know if it's Jacob Monk that replaces him, but there's going to be somebody else, somebody younger, and that just seems to be how the Packers are approaching
it. Well, the thing with the offensive line is, so, and we'll get to Matt LaFleur on this a bit later, but it seems like left tackle seems to be the true battle, the only true
yes.
battle in training camp. Now, Matt LaFleur is going to say, you know, coach speak, everybody's job is in question, right? But left tackle seems like the one true, you know, grind it out throughout camp and the preseason, and finally we'll make a decision come week one on who will be the starting left tackle. But you have a ton of question marks on your offensive line in terms of the future, right? The Elton Jenkins thing, he's not practicing right now. It's a hold-in. He is waiting for his guaranteed money before he steps foot on the practice field. Good move by him. Zach Tom is locked up. But when you look across the rest of the offensive line, Sean Ryan, the right guard, is entering the final year of his deal. Rashid Walker, the left tackle, at least the incumbent left tackle, is entering the final year of his deal. You just mentioned it. Elton Jenkins probably playing his final season as a Packer as he turns 30 years old.
So, yeah, the only way I can see Elton is they come to an agreement that guarantees him money for the next 2 years, and they don't find an adequate replacement. So they go, all right, Elton, you're going to get one more year, and then you're going to reach unrestricted free agency. I can see that being a way the Packers kind of try and middle the end of Elton's time here in Green Bay. But I think there's going to be probably, depending on what you think of Rashid Walker, I think Sean Ryan's as good as gone.
Yeah, agree.
After this season. And I also think if you were to put Goody and company under the microscope and get honesty out of them, they would prefer Jordan Morgan start. They have Rashid Walker as a plus-plus swing tackle. And then they also then are starting Anthony Belton with Sean Ryan. And by the end of the season, they have their new offensive line for 2025.
Yeah.
2026, sorry.
Yep. And Anthony Belton, boy, is he big. Saw him come through on a little bike. Great visual. 6'6", whatever he is, like 360 pounds.
Yeah.
That's a great visual. Kadeem Telford, though, the MVP of the day. He had the tiniest bike, and that's a big boy, too. So always fun to see. Josh DiMaggio, Alex Drift with you, talking Packers offensive line here in Green Bay. We are just outside of Lambeau Field at the Tundra Trio Houses. Day one of training camp in the books. We've got people walking past us here. So how it works, if you haven't been to training camp, about, I don't know, what would you say, Joshy? Maybe about 150 yards that way is where the AmFam Dream Drive is, to our left?
I think it's a little more, but 150 is fine.
Okay, so about
150
yards to our left is the AmFam Dream Drive. Players now going from our right to our left, down the Dream Drive towards Lambeau Field. If you want to ride a bike, you go that way. If you don't want to ride a bike, you walk right in front of our backyard.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of the coaches will walk back this way, including typically head coach Matt LaFleur. So while you were talking, while we were talking about the offensive line situation, pat on the back to me. I didn't get distracted at all.
You did. You pointed.
I did, but I didn't interject.
No.
I didn't interject. Couple of notable names that just walked past us during the segment. Rich Bisaccia.
Mm-hmm.
Xavier McKinney.
Mm-hmm.
The brand new defensive line coach, DeMarcus Covington, walked past us. Would have loved to open the door and yell, "Hey, come here for a second." But I imagine
I don't think they'd be too eager to join us.
Well, they'd have to hop the fence.
Yeah, and just from the back door, "Hey, come join this radio program."
Yeah, who
are you guys?
Probably not the warmest invite.
No.
But I guess I'm curious on how long this Elgton Jenkins thing will take. I thought they would get it done before practice one, and maybe they get it done before practice two. It feels a little similar in terms of the timeline to the Jordan Love thing a year ago, but it is certainly not the same level of importance to the Packers. The Packers don't care as much as they did about the Jordan Love
thing. I think rightfully so. The Zach Tom extension was priority one.
Yep.
And now we move to priority two, which is probably Elgton Jenkins. And then whatever they got going on with Quay Walker as well, I would imagine, because I know they've expressed interest in extending him. That, to me, would be sort of the order of operations there.
Yeah. So I am just fascinated to see how some of these things shake out, especially the left tackle battle. Now with Elgton Jenkins not on the field, both of those guys got to play, but it was Rashid Walker at left tackle and Jordan Morgan at right guard, which I think tells you where the coaches' heads are at least as of right now, that Rashid Walker is in the lead of last year's first round pick. But we talked about this last week on Mr. Relevant. And if you're not familiar with the program, we do this three times a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, for about an hour or so. And you can find that in the all-new ESPN Wisconsin app, which you can download in your app store today, as well as on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee, at ESPN Madison. Josh, you kind of hypothesized that while Rashid Walker, as of this moment, or as of week one, may be the better left tackle, the Packers may want to see their former first-round pick, because that could be their left tackle of at least the immediate future, while Rashid Walker, in the final year of his deal, he could just be a depth piece lineman, or if you really hate what you're seeing out of Jordan Morgan, he can step in and replace him, because we know he is a suitable left tackle. But you think it'll the competition will almost be, I don't want to say handed to Jordan Morgan, because if he sucks in training camp, they're not going to give it to him.
Yeah, no, they're certainly not going to damage their team or make their team worse off. But if they look similar and Jordan Morgan looks like he's up to the challenge, he's going to have every opportunity to fail.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is just how they built the team, how they view the team. And it's a money-saving thing, because Rashid Walker would also be due a contract. So you want to get your guy out there and get your guy experience so then he can be ready to go in the future. You don't want a brand new left tackle who's never played the position out there in 2026.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. More from the head coach, more from the general manager, more from practice number one as Green Bay Packers training camp officially underway. Packers fans, I'm telling you, you made it. You made it. Football season is officially here, just a couple of weeks away from the first preseason game. Obviously, family night coming up next week here in Green Bay. The owners' meeting's on Friday. If you are a shareholder, you can see the passing of the torch from Mark Murphy to Ed Policy. Am I crazy to think that Mark Murphy might actually pass a torch to Ed Policy? He might actually come out with a torch?
I as much as Mark Murphy views himself as a comedian, I don't believe he's a prop comic.
Okay, just a stand-up comic.
Yeah.
No props.
Uh-huh. He views that as beneath him.
Oh, sure.
Too shticky.
All right, we will hear from the head coach, Matt LaFleur, coming up next. That's Josh DiMaggio, Alex Stroop with you. It's a special edition, Mr. Relevant, live from Green Bay at the Tundra Trio House, just outside of Lambeau Field. Recapping practice number one for the Green Bay Packers. More next, right here on ESPN Milwaukee.
You're listening to Mr. Irrelevant, live from Packers training camp on 94.5 ESPN and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
But I'm thinking,
Mr. Relevant live from Green Bay. Day one of Packers training camp in the books. He's Josh DiMaggio. I'm Alex Strove hanging out with you. Will Summers is running the show for us back at the Gruber Law Offices. One Call, That's All studio in downtown Milwaukee. The Cardinals Talk and Text line is open for you, 800-990-3776. You got any worries about this Packers team as training camp day one is now... The practice is wrapped. Obviously, their activities for the entire day are not quite done. They'll watch them film and do whatever in the facility for a couple more hours. But the practice that was available to see for fans is over. And I'm just curious where Packers fans are, because at the end of the day, this is going to be a good team, right? This should be a playoff team. It should be a team that is at least in the competition, if not really in contention to win the division title in the NFC North and be in contention in the NFC. They should be one of the five best teams in the NFC on paper if things go according to plan. But I'm curious for Packers fans now that we are here, football season has arrived. Do you have a worry? Is it a position group? Is it a player? Are you worried about Jordan Love after he undeniably took, at least statistically and in his play, a step back last year? So curious from you on that. We'll review your responses in the 1 o'clock hour on that. Again, your way into the show is on the Cardinals Talking text line, 800-990-3776, 800-990-ESPN is the Cardinals Talk and text line. All right, football season is here. We all need a little pump-up speech, don't we, Joshy? Get a little vibe check going. Get a little amped up.
Sure.
Will you get a little amped?
Yeah.
Let's hear from the head coach. Head coach Matt LaFleur asked, "What is your message to the team as the year gets underway?" Here is Matt LaFleur earlier today.
Yeah, I think we're capable of doing some really good things, but we got to be willing to do the work, and that was pretty much the message to the team. Are you willing to do all the little things that it takes, because it takes a lot to get even to that point, to reach the postseason. It takes a lot to, we got a really tough division. We got a really tough schedule, and that's the National Football League. So, but you got to do all the little things. And then, you always got to have a little luck on your side in terms of staying healthy throughout the course of the season.
Josh, wake up. Aren't you amped up?
No.
You were snoring during that.
I've heard him say that so many times in so many different ways.
Has Matt LaFleur mastered coach speak?
No, because just wait until the season when he overreacts and gives a strange, brusque answer to a question he doesn't want to ask. See Jair Alexander, David Bakhtiari, see traveling abroad, etc.
Good point.
Think something's going to bother him and he will lash out in the Matt LaFleur way of lashing out.
But otherwise, he's mostly mastered coach speak.
Yeah, I think so. I also think for some reason he treats the word Super Bowl and championship like a word you can't say, like a curse word.
Sure.
Because he was avoiding that. Like, they can do some good things, some big things. It's like, just say championship.
Yeah.
If our goal is to win a championship, we have to be willing to do all the little things. Makes the quote a lot more interesting.
Should you become the official Matt LaFleur translator? What he wants to say versus what he actually says?
I mean, after Aaron Rodgers, there's probably nobody I've listened to speak more than Matt LaFleur himself, because of all the audio we not only play on the air, but the audio that I listen to sort of get an idea and find angles for a show. So yeah, I feel like I can at very least help him when he wants to say something with the better way of saying it. Because sometimes he's a foot and mouth guy.
Definitely a foot and mouth guy. Just a boring message to his team.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that doesn't fire me up for football season. That makes me think, okay, like, let's go practice, I guess. Let's go practice in the 85-degree heat. Like, that doesn't sound very exciting. But look, at the end of the day, I agree with him. This team is capable of doing some really good things, but there are still some massive question marks. Number one on my list is still, how good can Jordan Love be? Because we saw how good he can be consistently back in the back end of the 2023 season. Last year, I'll give it to him, right? I'll give him a break. Dealing with the groin, dealing with the knee, dealing with various injuries, kind of a weird year. Easier schedule, but weird year. Didn't perform his greatest against the great teams in the league. And by great, I mean in terms of the record, right? The Vikings, the Eagles, and the Lions. He struggled against those teams. How good can Jordan Love be? That's the big question for me, because if he is a top five quarterback, they might be a Super Bowl team. If he is a top 10 quarterback, they might win the division. And if he's probably about the level he was last year, which I would say is probably between 10 and 13, 10 and 14 in the league, they might be a 7 seed again. And they have a really tough schedule this year.
I think the question I like more is, how good is he? Because that I'm still not sure.
He's good.
He's good, but how good? And how consistently good? Because there is, when you're talking about good quarterbacking, you're talking about a consistent performer. Not everybody's going to have their best game and light up the stat sheet every single week. But there was times where Jordan Love, we had peaks of it last season in short spurts. Certainly not as much as we saw throughout that end of 2023. But how much can he have more 300-yard games? Can he have more multi-touchdown games with no interceptions? Or is he just going to be pretty good guy who makes some boneheaded mistakes that might cost you, and he's somebody you win with, not because of? Because if he becomes somebody you win because of, then that's a whole nother conversation, and our expectations for the Packers change at the drop of a hat.
Yeah, that's a good point by you. And, you know, I think ultimately it'll be week one, it'll be week two. I love how the schedule starts this year. Why are you giggling?
Because are we going to do a schedule game again?
No, we're not going to do a schedule game, just the first 2 weeks. But I think you are going to be really tested right out of the gates, which I think is fun. Why are we getting honked at?
I don't know.
People honking in the lot one parking lot.
There's
here.
There's no one
Lambeau
even
Field.
Really driving.
Yeah, what are
to
we
be
doing?
Honking at?
Dorks. Leave me alone.
Got him.
Got
cool.
him. Good drop. So obviously week one is Sunday here at Lambeau Field against the Lions, and then you have a short week. It's Thursday Night Football here at Lambeau again against a team that was in the NFC Championship game last year in the Washington Commanders. So you go from a team that's won your division each of the last 2 years to a team that was in the NFC Championship game further than you've been in 4 or 5 years in 4 days to start the season. If they start 0-2, might be a long year. If they start 1-1, you go, okay, that's about what we expect. And if they start 2-0, I think all of a sudden you're going, okay, maybe they have figured it out. And I think those first 2 weeks will tell you a lot about what this season looks like. And I mean, I know that's the case typically in a year, but just the level of competition being as strong as it is right out of the gates in 2025 it is so huge to me.
You know, a win against Detroit gets immediately credited back to the fact that they changed their coordinators. So there'll still be a lack of
certainty. They'll have a layup of an excuse.
Yes. And then people will point to that. And if the season has a streak of two losses, then people will point back at it and say, well, look at the Lions now. Look who they've beat. It was because they didn't have things going the right way. The big thing is just how do you finish the season and how do you play against the division? Because last year, if you go 500 in the division, you look a lot better. Heading into the playoffs, you feel more secure. Mm-hmm. But with the record they had, 1-5?
Yeah.
In division, that changes everything.
Yeah, thanks to Carl Brooks, yes.
Yes, fingertip away from being 0-6. I've heard it more times than I can count. But it's everything with how are they beating teams that we all look at the schedule and go, I'm not so sure about that.
Like, yeah.
A win against the Eagles, everybody's tune changes on the Packers at the drop of a hat.
Yeah, Ainsley in Milwaukee chimes in on the text line, 800-990-3776, which with kind of an interesting question, I think I just have an angle on maybe what he means. Would you rank Love above Phillip Rivers or Eli Manning based on the current sample size? Let's throw out the Eli Manning because he won 2 Super Bowls. I don't know why these are the two quarterbacks he thought
it's
of.
It's such a bizarre.
But I like it because it's a great era of football. So I think of that era of football. You have a bunch of quarterbacks in that group, right? So you have like the Peyton Mannings, the Tom Brady's, the Brett Favre's, the Phillip Rivers, the Eli Mannings, the Carson Palmer's, etc., right? Like those are the quarterbacks
of that
era.
I think of Phillip Rivers more as a peer of Aaron Rodgers.
So like Ben Roethlisberger, Aaron Rodgers,
yes.
Phillip Rivers, still Tom Brady, still Eli yes. Manning. Okay, sure. We'll go with that era. You have this collection of really good quarterbacks. I almost view Love as what he could be because the sample size is so small for him right now. But I think he could end up being the Phillip Rivers of this class, right? You look at the Mahomes, the Lamar Jackson, the Joe Burrow, the Josh Allen, the Jalen Hurts. And now, you know, like maybe the Caleb Williams, the Bryce Youngs or what have you. But I view Jordan Love very much in that group. Just where does he rank in that group? It's lower, but I think he will be a quarterback in this league for a long time. He could very much end up having a career comparable to Phillip Rivers. If, doesn't win a Super Bowl, doesn't win an MVP.
If Jordan Love's career ends as Phillip Rivers, I'm going to be severely disappointed with the Jordan Love era in Green Bay. And maybe that's unfair expectations, but Phillip Rivers never really competed for a championship.
No, I think never, they made it to an AFC championship
never,
game once.
Never really competed to be an MVP, which I don't need. Obviously, having Aaron Rodgers was a privilege where every single year was this guy could be the MVP. This guy could take the team to the Super Bowl. That's not necessarily the easiest thing to come by. I think there's probably 3 to 4 guys in all the NFL you would include in that, and you might not even include the guy who just won the Super Bowl because of the circumstances of his roster around him. So those guys are few and far between. 20-plus teams every year are searching for that guy and are pretty certain even before the season starts they don't have that guy. So if it's a Phillip Rivers comparison, it's pretty disappointing. I think a guy like Matt Ryan, even though his career ended probably not where you want to be, some of that circumstantial.
But a one-time MVP, a guy that made it to a Super Bowl.
Yes. And can you capitalize more because of the roster around you, maybe the advantages that a team like the Atlanta Falcons did not have in their favor?
I would agree with that. I would agree with that. All right, coming up next, we got to address the elephant in the room. Will Summers is running the show. I am obviously here. We did something bad. My official apology to the city of Milwaukee and Brewers fans everywhere is coming up next. It's a special edition of Mr. Relevant live from Green Bay after Packers training camp practice number one. But we will talk Brewers after their win streak is snapped last night by the Seattle Mariners. Will and I apologize to the city of Milwaukee. That is next right here on ESPN Milwaukee.
You're listening to Mr. Irrelevant, live from Packers training camp on 94.5 ESPN and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Mr. Relevant live from Green Bay, a special 12 to 2 p.m. edition of Mr. Relevant with the 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube channel, and the ESPN Madison YouTube channel. That is Josh DiMaggio. I'm Alex Strofe hanging out with you from the Tundra Trio in Green Bay. Will Summers is running the show, at the Gruber Law Offices, One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. You okay?
Just trying to help out.
Would you like to explain what just happened before I
get
to my apology?
Our wonderful teammate Maddie came here and sat on what appears to be a spider web with many dead insects below it. And I was trying to warn her before sitting in it, and she did not get the message.
And now she just stormed out of the room.
Scurried out of the room.
Good stuff. All right, so we're going to talk Packers the rest of the show after this segment, but we need to address the elephant in the room. And that would be what happened last night for the Milwaukee Brewers. Their 11-game win streak was snapped by the Seattle Mariners out in Seattle. They will have an opportunity to go for the series win today out in Seattle. But Will Summers, our producer, and I, well, apparently, according to the internet, we made a mistake. We went to the George Webb restaurant on MLK, and we camped out with a sign that said, "We want free burgers." And now we are being accused on the internet of jinxing the Brewers last night and ripping the city of free hamburgers from George Webb all over Milwaukee County. So I would like to say, I am sorry for those of you that are coping the loss by blaming it on a jinx. I apologize to those of you who are so sad and superstitious that I'm your scapegoat. I want to apologize to those of you that didn't watch the game and realize, hey, you might need more than two hits to win a baseball game. Might be a good thing. I want to apologize to those of you that crave so badly for a free hamburger that you told Will Summers he should be fired a week after he started full-time. I feel bad for you. So for that, Milwaukee, I'm sorry. If I'm your bad guy and that's the way you got to cope and you believe in superstitious BS, that's on me. I'm sorry. It won't happen again. I was on your team. I wanted a free hamburger too. But apparently, it just wasn't meant to be. So I didn't eat lunch today. I'm fasting for you. Because I wanted a free hamburger, but here I am hungry, talking to you about the Brewers, who are 11-1 in their last 12 games. They are 19 games over 500 and tied for the NL Central League. But nope, I'm the bad guy. Best team in baseball plays in Milwaukee. But you know what? Strofe sucks, Joshy.
Well, that I can agree with.
Will, would you like to apologize?
I'm also fasting in solidarity with you. And I'd like to preface this by saying, one, I'm not an excuses guy. And two, I'm not a blame guy. But if you're going to do a standoff after the national anthem in the midst of an 11-game win streak, you better win. And you better not move without any sort of authority making you get off the field. That's all I'm going to say. But yeah, I'm sorry. But again, not an excuse guy. Not blaming anybody. Not an excuse guy.
Yeah.
So far be it for me to ever defend either of you two.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Or be on your side. But you guys didn't say you were camping out for it. You were there demanding a win for your burger. It's not like it wasn't talked about on television shows, on radio shows, at the water
cooler.
I met
the president of George Webb yesterday.
Sure did. He was talking about it. I can't for the life of me, and I understand, you start a pile on, it gets fun, you look at two dweebs sitting there doing bad acting, and you say, hey, I have anger that I want to unleash. And sometimes you just end up being the butt of that, regardless of the validity of it. If you truly took to the internet to issue violent threats...
Got a few of those.
Because the two guys who did a funny video outside of a George Webb's are the reason you lost, then sure, have at it.
Yep.
I can rest easy, and I think you two should rest easy, knowing that the problem isn't you. It is all in the people who lost their minds about that video.
Can I read you my favorite one?
Yes.
All right. This from a guy that goes by Tweeter on Twitter. Jay Tweeterman. He said this. You know, this is before the game was even over.
Yeah.
It was still one
of where things were going.
It was like the seventh inning. Yeah. Uh-huh. Tweeter said this, quote, this is to you and me, Will. Quote, I hope both of you develop an incurable rash that never goes away and is so uncomfortable that it severely affects you for the rest of your life. End quote. I just want to give this guy some solace. I have psoriasis, so, like, I kind of deal with that already. Mm-hmm. So, I hear you. So, what do you do?
For the people that
But that
say,
made me laugh very hard.
Yeah, for the people that say we hurt the team, I basically got a hit in the game last night, too. Strofe, I know you can contest. I broke up the perfect game.
You did. Yeah, you did tweet, hey, he's throwing a perfect game, and immediately a hit was had. So, actually, I believe Will is credited with half of the two hits
yep.
that the Brewers had last night.
I also wish an incurable rash on both of you.
I mean, look at my arm, dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not for any particular reason. I just think it'd be funny.
Fair. It would be kind of funny.
Not because you guys did anything wrong, but if I got to watch you guys just itch.
Larry chimes in on the text line, 800-990-3776. Strofe, none of that sounded sincere.
I
was as sincere as possible.
Larry, I think you're on to something there.
Larry, I'm sorry. Okay?
I'm
sorry that people have to cope with the fact they don't get a free hamburger and they got to take it out of me.
Who
I'm
called
sorry.
You a clown?
Strofe is a clown guy chimed in with Will as a clown.
There's a Strofe is a clown guy?
Oh, yeah. That's all he texts in, yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah.
That's Will, I'd be concerned that you've now joined Strofe. From the Strofe is a clown guy to being called a clown.
I mean, are we surprised?
It seems like he's got a diagnosis here, and thus far, he's not hitting 100%. So,
Will, be careful.
You might want to avoid any future clown calls. You might get Strofe and Will as a clown guy if you keep it up.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. All right. He's Josh DiMaggio. I'm Alex Strofe hanging out with you. Will Summers, our producer back at the Gruber Law Offices, One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. Still to come in the 1 o'clock hour. And coming up next, just a hilarious conversation about how Josh was right about something. We will get to that coming up next. We will do Will's Wednesday Week in Review at some point, which we do every Wednesday on Mr. Relevant, at some point in the 1 o'clock hour. And we will see which players are talking at their lockers right now in Lambeau Field. Likely Jordan Love. We will try to hear from him at some point as well in the 1 o'clock hour as the first practice of Green Bay Packers training camp officially in the books. Joshy and I are live at the Tundra Trio in Green Bay just outside of Lambeau Field. More Packers talk. Will's Week in Review all still ahead. Hour 2, a special edition. Mr. Irrelevant. Continues right after this on ESPN Milwaukee.
You're listening to Mr. Irrelevant, live from Packers training camp on 94.5 ESPN and the ESPN Wisconsin app. Again. It's finally time.
We are back, baby.
The gates are open, the pads are cracking, and the green and gold buzz is back in full force.
We are back! That's
we
right.
are back!
The journey begins today. This is Mr. Irrelevant at Packers training camp on 94.5 ESPN, the ESPN Wisconsin app, and ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube. Live from the Tundra Trio in the shadow of Lambeau Field, here's Alex Strofe.
Alongside Josh DiMaggio, Alex Stroff with you. It is a special edition, Mr. Irrelevant, live from Green Bay, following the first practice of many. 2025 NFL season underway for the Green Bay Packers. Training camp practice number one is in the books. Will Summers, our producer, back in Milwaukee at the Gerber Law Offices, One Call That's All studio, running the show for us this afternoon. Good to be with you. Glad football season is back, man. 800-990-3776 is the Cardinals Talk and Text line. Your way into a special edition of Mr. Irrelevant. A lot of takeaways, a lot of things to see at Packers training camp, right? Like, we were just talking in the break, Josh. Like, Tucker Kraft returning kicks. Not going to happen in the real season. Number one, way too valuable to be back there. Number two, doesn't make a lot of sense. But, hey, in a training camp practice, why not? They're not wearing shoulder pads. They're not getting hit. I mean, why not? It's fun.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's completely useless. Like, I don't think they're putting him back there just to give themselves a laugh. It has something to do with the way they're planning or the way they're debating, but I don't believe at any point they wish for him to be
correct.
The return
it man. Might be like a little experimental by nature, and yeah, that's okay.
But because it's being moved, the kickoff's being moved back another 5 yards.
Yep.
And I'm sure there is UFL or old XFL examples to go off of where it might be Tucker Kraft is going to be involved in kick return, but not the main guy who is actually bringing the ball up the field, given them the option or the desire to do so.
I agree with you on that. Maybe the biggest note ahead of Packers practice and then ultimately the biggest note of Packers practice was something that was floated during OTAs, speaking of experimental. The Packers are stacked in terms of the number of bodies in the wide receiver room. They have a bunch of them, and only so many are going to make the roster. Right? They add another two in the draft. They sign Mecole Hardman in the offseason on top of the established four they already had, and then you add Malik Heath to that mix, right? So in OTAs, the Packers began experimenting with Bo Melton, Bo Knows Ball, playing both wide receiver and cornerback. But before practice today, when asked about Bo Melton and what he will do in training camp, the general manager of the team, Brian Gutekunst, had this to say about the wide receiver slash cornerback, Bo Melton.
No, I think it's going to be a really good competition. And, you know, you guys will see, but, you know, Bo's going to spend most of his time at corner. I think certainly we know what he is as a receiver and what he can do for us as a receiver and on special teams. I mean, he's been obviously a very important part of our football team the last couple of years. And we're excited to see what he might be able to do at corner for us on defense. So I think we switched his number to 16 because that looks a little bit better than the 80 he was running out there in camp. But he will spend, you know, most of his time, particularly this first 3-4 weeks at corner.
Three takeaways. Number one. We know what he can do for us at wide receiver means it's not good enough to make the roster.
Correct.
Therefore, he's going to be put at cornerback.
He's an odd man out.
He is the odd man out. Number two, he's going to spend most of his time at corner, but he didn't slip in the special teams mention, which I do think is valuable for Bo Melton. So I take this as they are trying to find a spot on the 53 for Bo Melton, and it is much more logical at corner than it is wide receiver. And then number three, the number switch. Okay, he goes from 80 to number 16, and he said that looks a little bit more normal. Brian, you are aware your first-round pick wide receiver is wearing number 22 at wide receiver, correct? Which is a corner number. So numbers in the NFL make no sense, even though Brian Gutekunst tried to make sense of a quarterback/punter number
at cornerback. I think he's just spitballing.
I think he was just saying things.
Yeah, I don't think he really wants this conversation to be had because he knows in his heart of heart that the most likely scenario here is Bo Melton is at best the practice squad member,
yep,
who, due to injury, may see some time on special teams. But other than that, I don't think there's really a planned role for him day in and day out.
No, and there's not. But, I mean, when you like a guy and you like his athleticism and you like his background,
his
and, you
work,
like, and obviously yes, he's done things for you in past years, including he had a monster game against the Vikings on New Year's Eve a couple of years
100
ago.
100 yards receiving.
That was the Bo Melton game. I stand by that one. They're trying to find him a spot. And, you know, that's fine and dandy. That's what this time of year is for, right, is experimenting and seeing if guys can crack it. In whatever way they can make the roster, they want to make the roster. So Bo's going to do what Bo needs to do, and that is play corner for the time being for the Green Bay Packers. The bad news is I don't know if it's going to work.
If you listen to Chewy or Mark Tauscher talk, they used to practice a lot more than they currently do. So adding a guy switching to a brand new position of something he hasn't done before and trying to get it all done in one offseason seems highly unlikely, even for some of the better athletes in the NFL.
Yep.
Just because of the technique you need to learn, the repetition. I mean, you're facing guys in your competition out there is guys who've been playing the same position since they were like 8 years old.
Correct. Now, maybe the good news is, and this is just me trying to find some optimism.
Here we go, searching.
Max Melton, Bo's brother, younger brother.
Plays
corner.
Yes.
In Arizona. He's an Arizona Cardinal. I believe he was a second round pick in the 2024 NFL draft in Arizona. So my thought is, in the backyard back in the day, they were switching off, playing corner
receiver. I'm sure every wide receiver has played some corner. I think they have to do it in practice, but it's going through the motions. It's an exact science. It's probably one of the more difficult positions in all of sports, if you just think of raw athleticism, speed, reaction time, all of that. But all of this, I think, for you is a long delay from saying what needs to be said here.
I'm not going to say it.
Will?
Huh?
Hunter does it. He plays a little chime.
Oh,
I don't want to say it.
I'll just sing it because you don't have it. Josh was right.
There it is.
Josh was right.
When we talked about this, I was pretty emphatic, even with some of the beat writers being like, well, who knows? It could just be an experiment, and he'll end up when training camp starts. He'll be back at wide receiver and kind of splitting time there. No. He's been moved.
This is the beauty of training camp. Tucker Kraft returning kicks. Bo Melton playing corner.
They changed his number.
They changed his number to 16 because it looks better back there? I don't understand that part at all.
I don't know what exactly that means, but I do know it.
He just switched to another wide receiver number. 80 and 16 are both receiver numbers.
Yes.
Oh, but wait a minute. I just had a revelation.
Oh, jeez.
Do you know who wears number 16 elsewhere?
No.
Okay, think college, number 16.
I'm not a numbers guy.
Okay, I'll try this with Will. Will, 2024 college football season, who was the most famous player in the country award? Number
Travis
16.
Hunter.
Bingo. Travis Hunter.
Didn't wear 16?
Did Shador wear 16?
You wore 12.
12. Darn it.
Nice try, though.
Thank you. You're the only person that can think they're having a stroke of genius and actually just have a stroke.
So close.
I mean, goodness gracious.
A stroke of genius, but I actually had a stroke.
Uh-huh.
Can we put that on a quote card?
So Strofe is an idiot and Josh was right.
Yeah.
That's the takeaway from this conversation.
I think if anybody can take anything away from the show, it can be that you're an idiot and I was right. It's a consistent theme.
I was going to say, that is the theme of this show.
There is a through line.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. Okay. Well, that didn't go the way I thought it was going to be real honest with you.
You know, you came in anticipating things not to go your way, and somehow you made it worse, which is also a Strofe trademark specific.
Speaking
only
of which,
you.
Didn't you say that you were going to have me do an obstacle course while we
were
out
there? I
did,
but my day ended up changing due to personal life things that I wasn't able to execute.
Oh, so do you own a bike?
No, I was going to have Jason bring one of his children's, or I was going to...
You talked to Jason?
I didn't. Or I was going to acquire one from my neighbor, because they have children's bikes as well, that they don't use often. And I was just going to bring it, and then I was going to have you do a whole course. But I wasn't able to get here, nor am I able to spend time after here. So that fell by the wayside.
Okay. Got it.
Through no fault of your own.
Well, I didn't even know what was happening.
Yeah, so. I know. I just wanted to say that it felt right. Because everything is usually a fault of yours on this program.
Will, back me up a little bit, would you?
Dude, I don't know why you're being so hard on yourself. It's not your fault.
I hate it here.
Yeah. It's fair.
Biggest worries for the 2025 Green Bay Packers as Jordan Love's name revealed in the NFL. Top 100 players for 2025. We will go over our biggest worries for the 2025 Green Bay Packers season. We'll get to Will's Week in Review. We'll get to what we missed, what we learned. That is all still ahead. It's a special edition, Mr. Irrelevant Live from Green Bay Packers Training Camp. He's Josh DiMaggio. I'm Alex Stroph. More of us coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin.
You're listening to Mr. Irrelevant Live from Packers Training Camp on 94.5 ESPN and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Special edition, Mr. Irrelevant, live from Green Bay Packers training camp just outside of Lambeau Field. He's Josh DiMaggio. I'm Alex Stroph with you right here on ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube, ESPN Madison on YouTube, 94.5 ESPN, and the all-new, brand-new, sexy, customizable ESPN Wisconsin app. What?
I don't like you saying the word sexy.
I'll tell you what's sexy. Training camp, baby. Football season. You would agree with that.
No, it is probably the least sexy portion of an NFL season.
Yeah, but it's here. Like, you get the feels that it's here.
It's exciting.
Nobody's tailgating today. That was disappointing.
It's hot.
It was raining earlier today also. But a lot of people at the practice, a lot of Go Pack Go chants.
They love a good chant here.
Yeah, they do.
Because there's a lot of downtime and a lot of trying to figure out which drill is worth watching. It's interesting. The best part is the ending when you're doing sort of the live 7-on-7s or the scrimmage portion of it. Yeah. That's really what we're all here for, even though on day one we're at jog-through pace probably.
Yeah, nobody was sprinting. We didn't get to see Matthew Golden's speed at all, which made me kind
of
sad.
No, the only clip I saw was a slow-mo video I saw put out by one of the beat writers of him absolutely roasting a coach, which the coach is there to get roasted. They're just sort of kind of
he's like, what do you mean by roasted? What was he doing?
Running a route and beating the guy?
Burning him.
Roasted.
Left in the dust?
Some would say.
Some would say. Okay. Got it. Biggest worry for the 2025 Packers season, as we are now underway in the 2025 Packers season. Practice one in the books. What is our biggest worry, Josh DiMaggio?
That the pass rush is once again a bottom five pass rush in the NFL. I think the concerns about cornerback are overblown. I think the Jordan Love thing, we all sort of understand that the floor for Jordan Love is still a winning football team, but if you want to reach the highest heights, it has to be better. But you're not going – Jordan Love isn't going to lose you many games throughout the course of a season. So to me, it's all about the pass rush, nothing more than the pass rush. Can they help out the other guys on the field – create mistakes from quarterbacks and drives and create turnovers?
The way they addressed the defensive line group, or the lack thereof, this offseason
was firing the coach.
Was a choice. Right, exactly. Yes. It was replacing the defensive line coach. That was a choice. I'm not saying it was a good one. It was a choice. And that was the choice the Packers made this offseason. They bring in DeMarcus Covington, the new defensive line coach, formerly the defensive coordinator of the New England Patriots last season.
Which I do want to say, I do think the diagnosis of the coaching being poor last season on the defensive line was accurate.
Yep.
But I do still think they're suffering from a overall talent problem as well.
I would agree.
I think it was a little two-piece nuggy there on what was actually the problems.
Proud of that one?
No, Tosh says that all the time, so I say it.
Two-piece nuggies. I agree with you. I think defensive line is certainly under the microscope. Both this training camp, this preseason, and ultimately when we get to the regular season, that's going to be something everybody has their eyes on. Can they pressure the quarterback? Can you create chaos? Can you wreak havoc?
Can Rashawn Gary, in his age 27, 28 season, get to double-digit sacks?
He still has yet to do that in his NFL career.
Unbelievable. Trey Hendrickson had 17 2 years in a row.
Okay, yeah.
The good case, though, is Trey Hendrickson that we know now was not Trey Hendrickson we'd seen for the first 3-4 years of his career.
Yep.
That's why he went from the Saints to the Cincinnati Bengals. That's how you end up on a different team, because good pass rushers typically don't become available once they get drafted. So that's a case for LVN and a case for Rashawn Gary still have more left in the tank. I'm a little more pessimistic, maybe in nature, but also somebody who's watched all of their snaps in professional football. And I do think they can certainly be better than they were last year, and I think that's where the coaching comes in. But I don't think we're going to have a guy who we're talking about being in the top five for sacks as the season winds to an end.
Yeah. 800-990-3776. What is your biggest worry for the 2025 Green Bay Packers season? Mine is on the other side of the ball. I worry that wide receiver is just a Band-Aid for right now. Right? Because last year, we went into the regular season and training camp a year ago at this time.
Define Band-Aid.
I'll get there. We went into training camp in the regular season thinking, well, somebody's got to step up. And it didn't happen. Right? There was no bona fide stud wide receiver. There was nobody that defenses were circling and saying, well, you got to really eliminate that guy and you're going to have a chance to beat the Packers. That wasn't the case against these wide receivers. Now, Jaden Reed probably was that guy for opposing defenses.
Up until the last six games of
exactly.
the season.
And then it was just a poof, grand disappearing act like he was Harry Houdini.
Wow.
And
didn't think you had Houdini in the bag.
I got Houdini in the bag, baby. So that's one part, right? So you go into this season, and sure, I've made the case, and I will continue to, because I think when you're the youngest team in the league, there's at least a part of you that thinks, okay, natural progression, right? More snaps, more reps. These are guys that are getting more and more and more and more acclimated to the speed of the NFL, to what being a successful NFL player looks like. But the Packers made their decision a couple months ago, the last time I was here at the Tundra Trio, just over there when the NFL draft was taking place, of not drafting just one, but two wide receivers in the first 2 days of the NFL draft. They bring in Matthew Golden in round one. They bring in Savion Williams in round three. And while those are fun selections, and those are guys that have a lot of tools in their toolboxes, how good can they be immediately in year one? Because when we talk about windows, it feels like the Packers championship window is open. It does, right? Because just given the expectation of this team that's made the playoffs 2 years in a row, it is a team that is longing and gunning to be one of the best in the NFC with an up-and-coming quarterback, a guy that is still young in his career, only year three as a starter. I believe it'll be, what, year six in the league for Jordan Love. I worry that Golden and Williams aren't able to make the impact that we expect in year one, and that the other four guys, once Watson returns, Romeo Dobbs, Jaden Reed, etc., Dontayvion Wicks, don't take the step that we are still waiting for. That's what I worry.
I think that's fair. I think Matthew Golden gives me a lot of confidence.
I think he's I think he's capable of making an immediate impact.
I also think that Matthew Golden makes Jaden Reed better. I think that Jordan Love playing better also makes everyone else look better. And I do think there was compounding factors of the offense not really having – I mean, the offensive passing game was – at times it felt like it was an impossibility. It was either Jordan Love hucks it up, puts the ball in danger, and somebody makes a good play, or you weren't going to move the ball that way. That's just how it felt to me. I think – I was quick to judge Davante Adams and his abilities, or what I thought were lack thereof. And I think we are so accustomed to people just growing and emerging and being stars. But I do think there are plenty of players like Nico Collins was an afterthought for much of his career. Many people were asking, like, hey, we've seen signs here. And then next thing you know, he's being talked about as like one of the best receivers in all of football. Mm-hmm. And I think we get really attached to expecting, because we've seen it happen, especially at the wide receiver position, people to be much better than they are right out of the gate, when that's not always the case. I think there's more and more cases in the past of guys being instant contributors. But I think the wide receiver is largely... It also has to do with the fact that there's no veterans in that room. There was no leadership. It was guys all kind of figuring it out.
Yeah.
As we found out, their leadership might have not been the best, because the guys that were there, save Christian Watson, I think he's a pretty good example. Romeo Dobbs not showing up for work one day. Like, who knows what was going on in that wide receiver room and what the culture was like. I'm buying into both Jaden Reed and Dontayvion Wicks growing. And I think they grow in part because they're going to have another guy who's talented with them, and it's on Matt LaFleur to put them all in good spots. Like, I don't think we're going to have another conversation about Dontayvion Wicks having drop issues. I thought he was really good to end of the season, and a lot of people are caught up on the total drop number, which it was a lot, and they seem to happen all in bunches. And then as the season went on, every time Dontayvion Wicks' number got called, it felt like he delivered.
Other than when he dropped the ball.
Right, but his drops, like, precipitously dropped in terms of, like, through the second half of the season, he was probably the most consistent wide receiver the Packers had, which you could take as a good thing or you can take as
a concern, which
everyone else was just that bad.
I don't know which one is the right answer. I think the good part about Dontayvion Wicks is, and I've said this before, but I don't want it to get taken at the extreme level that it is, but he's reminiscent of Davante Adams.
Yes.
He's a guy with incredible route running ability. He's a guy that can really stretch the field. He's got good hands, except when he drops it, but that's something Davante Adams struggled with before he developed into the best receiver in football in the entire league. I'm not saying Dontayvion Wicks will have that upward trajectory. I just think he can become more of a consistent staple in that room, whether that be as a number two or number three option. But he has some of the tools that those other guys don't have, which is what makes Dontayvion Wicks such an intriguing piece in this wide receiver room. And I think you can make that case for a lot of these guys, right? I think Jaden Reed can do a lot of things other guys can't do. Now Matthew Golden can do a lot of things that other guys can't do. I think you're one bona fide, yeah, he's a receiver, is Romeo Doubs. And he's likely entering his last season, if he makes it through the entire season, with the Green Bay Packers as he's in a contract year. But Romeo Doubs has been kind of Mr. Consistent. He's been that security blanket for Jordan Love in his first 2 years as the starter. So I guess it's not necessarily a worry of there are too many mouths to feed. It is there actually a guy who's going to take attention away or attention from opposing defenses? Right now, I'd say the answer is no. Can Matthew Golden become that guy? Maybe. Can Dontayvion Wicks become that guy? Maybe. Can Jaden Reed actually get to that point in his career? Maybe. But looking at the snap counts for Reed, the Packers didn't respect him as a true number one last year with the lack of his play on two wide receiver sets, etc.
And I know Gabe talked about that on the State of the Packers. I've talked about it pretty much the entirety of the offseason. I do think there is a potential chance that Reed was limited based on misjudgment from the Packers. Because if you think of how many times can you think of off the top of your head of Reed making plays downfield and in situations where you're not accustomed to him winning, I think if they increase his opportunities, I think he has a better chance of succeeding. Because towards the end of the season, you knew how Jaden Reed was going to get the ball, and that was pretty much it. It was going to be from the slot in a situation close to the line of scrimmage on a jet sweep. And to me, I don't think that's maximizing his potential as a wide receiver.
Yeah.
I think he has more to give than the Packers were willing to give him last year. And I don't know how much of that is his fault or poor scouting from the Packers on their own team.
Yeah, I think that's all fair by you.
Did you know that Houdini died because he got punched in the stomach? A student punched him. It was something he was having to talk with him. And, you know, Houdini was a guy who could do all sorts of feats. A guy punched him in the stomach when he wasn't ready, and it ended up, bursting his appendix, which ultimately led to his early demise, sadly.
How old was he?
He was in his 50s.
Wow.
He was performing a show there backstage, and some guy just gave him the 1-2.
Just the one, I think.
Now, it seems like there was multiple punches before.
So this guy beat the hell out of him.
You can read about it.
He got jumped.
As a Wikipedia, it wasn't, because they were having a conversation. It had something to do with religion. I don't know what was going on. You can read the whole thing there. He took a couple 1-2s to the gut. Next thing you know,
dead.
Sayonara.
Wow.
Yeah, shout out Houdini, RIP.
I can't say I knew that.
Gone too soon. 1926.
Coming up on 100 years.
Yeah.
Wow. But his name is still brought up. As the famous American rapper Macklemore said once. Let's see if I get this right.
Oh, here we go.
I heard you die twice. The first when they bury you in the grave. The second time is the last time somebody mentions your name.
So profound.
And we're still mentioning Harry Houdini's name 99 years after his demise.
Houdini's been doing it for a long time.
Legend in the game. Legend in the game. He's Josh DiMaggio. I'm Alex Stroh. Will Summers is running the show.
That was a tough listen.
What the hell was that?
It's fascinating. He died because of punch the gut.
I think the most embarrassing part is I just riffed three lines of Macklemore verbatim.
It was definitely something where you just go, huh, that's interesting. You don't reference since past Mac Miller and his lyrics from a song.
No, that was McLemore.
Oh, was it? It was even worse. Even worse. Does he still got that funky haircut?
That's a great question. We can work on that research in the break. But coming up next.
I contend that McLemore's name is said less than Houdini's is in 2025.
The sad part is, I guarantee that's right. Like, I guarantee Josh is right on that. It's amazing. All right, coming up next, we'll hear from Packers tight end Tucker Kraft on his quarterback Jordan Love. We will also hit the long-awaited Will Summers Wednesday week in review, Chris Berman fastest 2 minute style. We will get to that. All still ahead. Mr. Irrelevant live on 94.5 ESPN, the ESPN Wisconsin app, ESPN Wisconsin on YouTube. Continues right after this.
You're listening to Mr. Irrelevant, live from Packers training camp on 94.5 ESPN and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Mr. Relevant live from Green Bay Packers training camp day one, practice one over and done with for Green Bay. He's Josh DiMaggio, Malik Strofe, rocking with you from the Tundra Trio just outside of Lambeau Field. Will Summers is back at the Gruber Law Offices, One Call That's All studio in downtown Milwaukee, running the show for us. All right, we will get to Tucker Kraft in a moment, who had little but a lot to say about Jordan Love, the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. We'll get to that in just a second. But before we do that, we do this each and every Wednesday on Mr. Irrelevant. Will Summers is a fascinating creature. Fascinating dude.
Thanks.
So, I'll get to you in a moment. Just hold tight for a second.
He said thanks.
You're welcome. Well, he said it with a question mark. I didn't. What I mean by that.
You didn't need to address it. You just keep talking.
So, Will started back in the fall with us at ESPN Milwaukee as an intern. He immediately leached on the Josh DiMaggio. And for whatever reason, Josh was like, yeah, I like this kid. Will then became part-time. He was a part-time producer for us. So he'd come in some days, on the weekends, you know, stuff like that. And then he leached on Josh so hard that he started leaching onto our show, Mr. Relevant, which we do 3 times a week, and he just started sitting in.
You keep using that word leech.
Leech.
Whoa, my computer just started playing volume. That shocked me. I don't know if leached is the right word. Glommed?
Okay, yeah, even better.
Leached to me is blood-sucking and a little nefarious.
Is that not what this was?
There was no nefarious nature. The guy was trying to earn his way, earn a spot, could get a call up to the big leagues.
And his way of doing that was globbing on.
Glom.
Glomming on. Mm-hmm. I like globbing.
Guys, stop with the big words, please.
Yeah.
And long story short, Will is now full-time. Yes. Will works for us full-time, which it's well-earned. But one of the things that we learned about Will, being a fascinating creature, is that he has a very strange route of doing comedy and delivering news. So we let him do it every Wednesday. We just let him recap the week in the middle of the week, tell us what's going on. So this is Will Summers, kind of Chris Berman-esque fastest 2 minutes. Will Summers, Wednesday week in review, starts right now on Mr. Irrelevant. Will, the floor is yours.
We're going to get into more training camp stuff next week, but let's stick with the Brewers over the weekend. The Brewers faced the defending World Series champion Dodgers yet again, and they picked up right where they left off before the All-Star break, where Quinn Priester made the Dodgers call him Father Priester as he command-mented his repertoire of pitches for 10 strikeouts, going 6 innings, allowing just 3 hits and no runs. Caleb Dublin backed him up as he pulled up his kilt and split the G as in grandstand, blasting a home run and a double to lead the Brewers to a 2-0 Game 1 win. On Saturday, it was neck and neck. It was a neck and neck game up until the end, but Nick Smears wiped away a Dodger scoring threat in the 7th to keep the game at bay, and Joey David Ortiz said, "I love it when you call me Big Papa," and hit his 7th home run of the year in the 8th to give the crew an 8-5 lead. After giving up 2 runs in the bottom of the 8th, Trevor Fishgill swam through the Dodgers in the bottom of the 9th and jumped around like he had exited the water as the Brewers won 8-7. Going for the sweep on Sunday, Jose Quintana resembled the classic mobile iPhone game Fruit Ninja as he sliced through the Dodgers order, going 6 innings, allowing just 4 runs.
That's
with the
so
game
dumb.
Tied up in the
There wasn't
four,
even a joke there.
You said Fruit Ninja.
I said,
yeah, but that,
yeah,
that was Fruit Ninja after
it.
With Jose Katana.
It was Jose Katana.
Oh, I missed that.
Okay.
I thought you just mispronounced his name. All right, carry on. Sorry.
All right. With the game tied up at 4 in the 6th, Isaac Phil Collins felt it in the air tonight as he had a 2-RBI single to give the Brewers the lead for good and cement a sweep for the crew. The Brewers would yet again win on Monday, and due to a current move-in that I'm involved in, I have yet to catch up on what's happened since. With your Mr. Irrelevant recap, I'm Will Summers.
That's well done.
Had he played to add an excuse in there, too.
after 45 minutes ago saying he's not an excuses guy?
Yeah.
That was good.
Still not an excuse guy.
Yeah,
Will Summers weekend review. All right. Speaking of that move-in, when are you moving?
Monday.
Nice.
Not ready.
So what do you mean you're not ready?
I'm underprepared.
Okay, sure.
Could you employ your mother and father to help you, or are you trying to big dog it?
See, I could, and they've offered their services, but I don't want to ask for help since they don't live around the area and it's a Monday. But that's sure. definitely in my back pocket if I need it.
So speaking of help, on Monday's edition of Mr. Irrelevant, prior to the show, I asked you, do you need help? And you said, no. Mm-hmm. And I believe you actually insulted me.
Yes.
What did he say again? I forgot what he said. What did you say, Will? Do you remember?
You asked, well, I said, I might need your help just to carry some heavy things. And you said, I could do that. And I go, I don't know if you'll be able to help.
No, that's not what happened.
It was something you along actually those lines.
No, you completely dismissed me. You said, no, I don't need your help. Also, I don't think I would even ask you. I don't think you'd be one of my asks.
I said, yeah. I don't think you'd be much help.
And then yesterday, what happened, Will? We were walking around work, and you slipped something in there when we all of a sudden were isolated from literally everybody else we worked
with. Wow, and the lights weren't shining.
Yeah, we were in a parking garage, just the two of us.
I just mentioned that potentially he's like my third string right now. I might need his help.
You need a depth chart.
If the number one guy gets hurt, the number two guy's underperforming, you might need a third guy.
That's also not what he told me. He said, by the way, I'm going to need your help on Monday.
Wow.
He didn't say, you're on my depth chart.
Well,
he said, hey, I'm definitely going to need your help.
Well, here's the
thing. In my experiences, Will, I would have a backup to Strofe. You might think it's only going to take an extra person to help you out, but you might want to bring in somebody in relief of him because our setup here and our moving the couch, these chairs we're sitting in are in a different room. He picked it up, moved it about 2 feet, and set it down and walked away and said, I left my sport coat here. Nothing reminded him of the sport coat. There wasn't clothing visible.
No,
there
I was told even, it was in this house.
There wasn't even a closet visible. He just realized he picked it up and remembered that there was something else happening. So you could be moving a dresser and, you know, it's like heavy, you're navigating stairs, and then he'll be like, wow, I wonder how Bo Melton was in practice today. I didn't hear anything about him. And then your dresser's making its way towards the front door, careening towards expensive things that you'll lose your security deposit on.
Here's the thing,
you
too.
You need to be tethered.
I definitely do appreciate him offering to help, and I definitely could use his help potentially, but he just lobbed up like the way he phrased his question or asked, like said he could help, he just lobbed it up for me to say that. And then
he did.
I couldn't turn back then.
He sets himself up sometimes. And I get made to look like the bad guy because I take the alley-oop he throws me.
Oh, yeah, that's enough out of both.
Will, if you were to build a depth chart or a power rankings of all the people at ESPN Wisconsin, how far from the bottom is Alex Strofe as a helper?
Like physicality or willingness-wise?
Just all-encompassing because he's eager. That's for sure. He's eager about everything.
Eager beaver.
So let's leave that out there. But in terms of actual help getting things from one apartment to another, where would you power rank him? Because I got him as a bottom three asset, somewhere jumbled up with Ben Brust.
Yeah, I would have definitely at the top would be you, Joshy, Ashton Rotman, and Brian D. Those are the three guys I think know moving. They know the city.
Can we just time out for a moment? Can we just time out for a moment real quick, given those three answers?
Yeah.
Will's kissing ass right now.
Yeah.
Boss, and the guy that trained him.
Yeah, smart move. Also, the three most mature and experienced people.
Okay, we're done here. Mm-hmm. No, we're
done
with this
list. I
guess
Brad Nortman gets a shout out for being mature.
Yeah.
But Yeah, Brad seems busy. He's you don't ask former NFL players to help you move.
Nope.
Oh, that's not true. I moved once and asked Chris Orr, who's now a coach with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Cool.
Wow. I don't want to disrespect Chris Orr, but how many snaps did he play in the NFL?
Several. He played one season for the Carolina Panthers. He's on their active roster.
When the contracts reach multi-millions is when I stop asking those people.
Okay, so Chris was fine?
Yeah.
And he did help me move.
And Chris seems like, you know, he only had... Chewy's wife calls it NFL boy when he acts up and acts privileged.
Oh.
Chris didn't have enough time there, so he's still down-to-earth nice guy.
That's true.
Brad Nortman had his life catered to him for how many? Eight NFL seasons?
Six.
Six NFL seasons? I knew it was an even number. Gosh. Bad on me. But that's a different rumble. Brad's super nice. One of the nicer guys you'll ever meet.
But he's got a little NFL boy.
A little NFL boy. There's distance. There's, yeah.
That's a good point.
And now his life is so different.
Yeah, that's true.
He actually has a busy life, less of an excuse. Like, there's no excuses. He's got real life things.
Well, no, he has real excuses.
Yes,
yeah. Yeah, okay, correct. All right, well, we didn't get to Tucker Kraft here. We will get to it on the other side with what we missed, what we learned, which is presented by Door County Distillery. We will hit that on the other side as we wrap up a special edition, Mr. Irrelevant Live on the radio. Look at us go. 94.5 ESPN, ESPN Milwaukee, and ESPN Madison on YouTube, and, of course, the all-new ESPN Wisconsin app. We wrap up the show live from Green Bay right after this on ESPN Wisconsin.
You're listening to Mr. Irrelevant, live from Packers training camp on 94.5 ESPN and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Before we go on Mr. Irrelevant, Alex Stroff, Josh DiMaggio, Will Summers with you live from Green Bay at the end of Packers training camp, practice number one. As we always wrap up, Mr. Irrelevant, it's time now for What We Missed and What We Learned, which is presented by our friends at Door County Distillery, locally produced, handcrafted, award-winning spirits made locally in beautiful Door County, just north of where we are right now, in Carlsville, just a little bit north of Sturgeon Bay. If you're heading up to Door County, make sure you stop in by Door County Distillery. Do the tour. Do the tastings. Check out the exclusive product. But if you're not heading to Door County this summer, that's okay. You can bring Door County to you for whatever you've got going on. Family reunions, graduation parties, tailgates, and all the in-betweens. They've got great rums, great whiskeys, great gins, great vodkas, all the in-betweens, and a lot of local collaborations. Door County Cherries, baby. Ever heard of them? They got it in everything, including their moonshine, Josh. I know you bought that for your mom with the cherries at the bottom. It's terrific. Check them out, DoorCountyDistillery.com. Type in your zip code. Click the product you're looking for, whether it's their bourbon or maybe the Rock Island rum. You can check what you're looking for. Type in your zip code. It'll pull up the retailer nearest you. Awesome search tool on their website. DoorCountyDistillery.com can also find a huge list of unique cocktail recipes at their website, DoorCountyDistillery.com. All right, real quick, want to get to this. Tucker Kraft meeting with the media just a few minutes ago at his brand new locker in the brand new Packers locker room. Very quick comment about the quarterback, Jordan Love. Audio is courtesy of our friend Matt Schneidman. Here is what Tucker Kraft said about Jordan Love.
I believe Jordan is the guy that's going to take us to a Super Bowl. That's it.
That's it from Tucker Kraft. He believes Jordan Love will bring him to the Super Bowl. That's it. That's a great attitude for a guy who could become the Packers' top pass catcher in 2025.
It's a great attitude, but I can't look at anything else other than this woman walking off a raft for the unveiling of the Cleveland Browns helmet. She seemingly is filming the Dude Wipes mascot and the Browns mascot as they pull a sheet off of the new helmet. She's taking steps to the right, and then she walks right into the river. I haven't deemed if this was a plan to go viral and this was all part of an elaborate scheme to make the Browns' visibility go up on this thing, but the idea of a Dude Wipes mascot waddling to the end of this raft and looking at the poor woman or man who just walked off of it, unbelievable. Great stuff.
Yeah, it's a really good video. Also, what we do in the segment is what we learned. And what we learned is Will's vocabulary is awful. Will doesn't have a vocabulary.
No. I mean, yours isn't special.
Mine's not amazing, but it's better than Will's.
Yeah, he's a young gun. He's still learning.
He's still learning. So Josh throws around big words like they're nothing because he's a big reader. He's got his own library at his house. Humble brag. Will, what'd you learn today?
So there was more than one word, but you guys are throwing a lot around in a very quick.
You see what he said there? You guys, not Josh. You guys.
Yeah, Josh was. And see, the problem with some of these is that I can't spell them. So I fell behind a little bit. But one word I do have is brusque, abrupt, or curt in manner of speech. It is an adjective. Josh.
Hold on. Slow down. What does curt mean?
Josh answered Strofe's question about what his favorite mood was in a brusque manner.
Favorite mood?
Remember when you asked him, Josh, what's your favorite mood?
Yeah, that is
true. Oh, a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what is your favorite mood?
I'm not answering that question.
Malik Willis minutes.
Well, what's your favorite mood?
Happiness?
My favorite?
How many minutes?
Malik Willis minutes until we're out.
Does that mean there's 2 minutes left in the show?
Correct.
Yes.
What, you're telling me you just understand what Will's saying?
Yeah.
Did you say that on the air or just in our ears?
I said it on the air.
Oh, okay. How about now? How much time is left?
Well, there's not going to be a 90-second. Well, I guess you could go like
LVN.
Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah.
How about Lucas Van Ness, seconds?
Okay, got that. Okay, we're going to do this the rest of the show. I like this game. Okay. Well, we appreciate you hanging out with us. Josh, any big takeaways from being up in Green Bay for training camp practice number one?
I made a mistake coming here. I'm glad I was able to come here, but having to sit next to you in these chairs and watch your brain function no one gets paid enough for this.
Okay.
I want to send my sympathies to everyone who has ever managed you.
Derrick Rose minutes.
spent multiple days with you. It's truly an overwhelming experience.
Wait, what did Will just say? How much time do we have left?
Derrick Rose minutes on the Bulls.
Oh, okay. One. Got it. On the Bulls. You do need to clarify that. He played for several teams. okay. Well, we have Kyle.
And I'm so glad I get to drive home alone.
Yeah, no road trip for you. I'll give you knocks on that. I didn't like passengering or driving for you either.
No, neither of us, to be fair, on the way home had a good time.
No, yeah, that's completely fair.
Chris Brooks seconds.
Maybe Chris Brooks seconds. I don't know what number Chris Brooks was. 30?
I haven't the faintest
30.
Idea.
He was 30.
Javon
we got 30
seconds.
Cut. Okay, 20. Is he 20 flat?
You're taking
we're out of time. Long. Kyle Preston-Norman is coming up next. I will be reporting live from the city of Green Bay. I'll be all over Title 10 District reporting live. Kyle Preston-Norman coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin.